Organizing. Railroad unions haven't been known for putting up a fight since the 19th century, but newly radicalized workers forced their way into the national conversation. We're going to talk about that, and folks can go to democracynow.org to see it. That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Fels, Mike Burke, Dina Gusta, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warren, Afterina Nadura, Sam Malkoff, Jane Maria Studio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey, Masood, Mary Conlon, our executive director, Julie Crosby. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, as well as over WUSB.FM. It's just about 6 o'clock on a Tuesday evening, which means, once again, it's time for another episode of Off the Wall. And a very good evening to everybody in the program is Off the Wall. on this Tuesday evening. This is Emmanuel. I'm joined by Kyle.
What?
Just checking levels here and making sure everything is working fine. Things break an awful lot around here, you know. Our website was broken before. You know, we had this radio station with two frequencies, both of which are operating at reduced power, and no website. So it was a dire period for a little while, but we got it fixed.
And pitiful joke.
Well, it's not a pitiful joke. It's just cruel reality.
Part of a larger pitiful joke.
Well, yeah. That's humanity. Yeah, I know. I'm aware of that. But yeah, we're here on a Tuesday, kind of a an historic Tuesday. I believe it's a safe safe phrase to use because rather historic legislation was signed today. President Biden signed into law the landmark new federal protections for same-sex and I'm trying to read a computer here, which is blocked by my microphone. I just have to move that over there. Same-sex and interracial couples, capping both the personal and national evolution on an issue that's enjoyed growing acceptance over the past decade. Yeah, well, it's been an evolution for Biden as well, who in the past has opposed this sort of thing, but people change. Yeah, and people evolve. It's kind of good to see. He says, marriage is a simple proposition. Who do you love? Well, now I've got the George Thorogood song stuck in my head. I'm going to have to hear that before the night's over. Will you be loyal to that person you love? The president asked from the South Lawn. It's not more complicated than that. And it really isn't. Even though Republicans love making it more complicated than that and making it as divisive as possible. But in the end, it comes down to a simple signature and some history being made. And today's a good day for that. And, you know, the somewhat unsettling part about all this is that this was done quickly in December. Next month probably wouldn't be possible because Republicans are taking control of the House. And that simple act, that's enough to keep something so basic. You know, something that the vast majority of Americans get now, to keep that from becoming the law of the land. That's sad. But, you know, today's a happy day because it was signed. It's a victory. We need to embrace the victories more. Another victory. Brittany Griner returned to the United States. You know, again, hearing all the negative. Why is there negativity for this? This is a good thing. You know, somebody being held captive in a Russian gulag for the crime of having a little bit of cannabis oil. Right? It's a little bit, Kyle, right? Can you put it in terms that maybe people might understand? Republicans are saying she was a drug trafficker. Ridiculous things like this.
It's like if you squeezed a handful of buds and got a little bit of oil out of it and then diluted it across a bunch of vape cartridges, but it's like very little. It's milligrams added into maybe a half a gram or a gram. So it was in a solution of vaporizing liquid, but a very small milligram, much like an aspirin might have constituent parts, something that binds it together, and then the acetaminophen is a very small amount within it. So there are some kind of cartridges with liquid, and a very small fraction of that liquid was a illicit substance that they added up into some amount.
Would I be able to hold it in my hands?
Oh, yeah. It looked like a lot more when you saw some of the security footage, but it was packaged. So, of course, yeah, you could probably hold everything that she had in one hand, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's something that's not even a crime in this country. She was treated like, I guess, like a spy, because the other guy, Paul Whelan, his sentence has not been put aside. He's accused of spying. There's resentment. The fact that Brittany Griner was brought back and he wasn't. Never mind the fact that the Russians said that that they weren't going to be trading him for anybody at this point in time. It was either you get Britney or you get nobody. And I think they took the right deal by getting Britney. And the thing is, this Merchant of Death or whatever that guy is called that they traded Britney for. What everybody seems to forget is that this guy served half of his sentence already, you know, in a U.S. prison for trafficking weapons. And we sure have a lot of people trafficking weapons. It's not that uncommon. It's not a good thing. This is not a good guy. But let's not make it seem as if he just got away with everything, because he didn't. He served a significant part of his life in a prison, and now he's going back to Russia. Okay, and I don't know. I think it was worth it. Anyway, the top U.S. hostage affairs official on Sunday reflected on conducting the prisoner swap that led to Brittany Griner's release, saying the WNBA star immediately thanked the crew returning her to the United States. This is just you might have heard some negative portrayals of Brittany Griner, you know, that she hates this country and she basically is a hostile person and is not worth it and should have been left there to rot. Literally, these are people in our country saying this. They literally are saying these horrible, hateful things. When she finally got onto the U.S. plane, Special Presidential Envoy for Hostage Affairs, Roger Karstens, said to her, "Brittany, you must have been through a lot over the last 10 months. Here's your seat. Please feel free to decompress. We'll give you your space." And she said, "Oh, no, I've been in prison for 10 months now listening to Russian. I want to talk. But first of all, who are these guys?" And she moved right past me and went to every member on that crew, looked them in the eyes, shook their hands, asked about them, got their names, making a personal connection with them. It was really amazing. And then later on an 18-hour flight, she probably spent 12 hours just talking. And we talked about everything under the sun. Can't think of a better homecoming than that. Karstens, who led the mission to the UAE, where the transfer took place, provided CNN with new details about Griner's trip home. Griner, who he described as an intelligent, passionate, compassionate, I wouldn't have used passionate and compassionate next to each other, but humble, interesting person, a patriotic person, but above all, authentic. Seemed healthy, full of energy during the trip. She was given the sense, he said, that she would be going home that day, and it felt real the moment he was able to board the other plane and tell her that on behalf of the President of the United States, Joe Biden, and Secretary of State Tony Blinken, I'm here to take you home. It's a beautiful moment. It really is, and something that we all should be celebrating. It's really an amazing outcome. Now, of course, Paul Whelan was left behind. This wasn't his day. But I do believe his day will be coming. And, you know, Trump said some stuff. I'm not going to go into that. But what I will say is that Paul Whelan's family really gets it. These are good people. They understand, even if the politicians don't. David Whelan, who is the brother of the imprisoned Marine, Paul Whelan, he basically hit back at President Trump for the comments that he made, arguing his attitude is disappointing from a former president. I think that what President Biden did was to take care of an American who was in peril and bring home the American that he could bring home. So it's disappointing that a former president would have that sort of perspective. Whelan also added, all Americans should be happy. Griner has been freed from wrongful detention, congratulating the WNBA player and her family on her release.
I think it's noticeable that there's no blame or finger pointed at Russia. I mean, they had a say in who is swapped for whom, and all the aspersions and criticism is going towards the people that are doing their best in good faith to organize this
right.
For the person that is probably least equipped to be in that situation. And I think it was in my opinion, you know, dare I speak it, a good choice. And ultimately, Paul Whelan's story will be reinforced and reiterated as a result of this successful thing. But no one that would criticize this is daring to ask the question of perhaps the way Russia has been treating him versus Brittany Griner. And it was said very plainly by, I forget his name, the person that was negotiating it and some of the people around the negotiations in the administration, that Russia was treating Paul Whelan differently.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had agency in this, too, and well, no one really puts it at their feet.
You know, even I know that if you have two people and you're accusing one of carrying cannabis oil and you're accusing the other of spying, the person you're accusing of spying is going to carry a higher price. That's just, you know, espionage 101 or just international relations 101.
And he worked for a major industrial manufacturing corporation, Borg Warner, which makes turbochargers. So they make chargers for engines and industrial automobiles and many different types of systems. So, you know, as far as value to and the predicament and his experience in the military, I mean, like I was insinuating, his position is distinct, mm-hmm. and I think Brittany Griner was not as well equipped to understand, you know, how she got in that situation and the way she was being treated. And I don't know. I think that's pretty conspicuously being lost. And let's just realize they're different people.
Look, it's easy to see what was going on with Brittany Griner because you see the video all the time of her walking through the airport. You know what she was accused of. She admitted to having it. It's very simple. Whereas Paul Whelan's case, you know, you don't know what exactly is going on there. Supposedly he was at a wedding and, somebody gave him a thumb drive.
He's got four passports.
Okay. And, you know, what was on that thumb drive that somebody gave him who told him it was wedding pictures, but turned out to be something else. And that person set him up. There's all kinds of nuance here. I'm not saying he's guilty of anything, but it's a more complicated case, obviously. But, at the same time, you know, my view of it is if you are a spy, that's part of the game. And if you're caught spying, you should just basically be kicked out of the country. And, that's it. You know, you're done. No more spying. Anyway, David Whelan, Paul Whelan's brother, went on, concerning the hypocrisy of Trump, who is attacking Biden for doing this. My brother pleaded from his prison for President Trump to tweet about him during President Trump's term in office because it happened 2 years into his term. And he never did. President Trump didn't tweet about him. And now to talk about Paul at all, it's really offensive. The U.S. government...
Or read normal for him.
Yeah, the U.S. government was not engaged in Paul's case for the first 2 years. And not all of that is President Trump's fault, David Whelan says. I think the government wasn't prepared to deal with wrongful detentions by nation states. They were still focused on terrorist groups and hostages, the old-fashioned sort of approach.
Well, forget that.
Well, this guy just seems so reasonable and even-handed in the way he's... You know, it would be easy to be bitter about the fact that Brittany came home and Paul didn't. I think the key here is just to believe that everything is being done and to know that someday there will be a deal and hopefully that day will come soon.
Yeah. We need less and less people we care about stuck there.
Yeah. That's hard, though.
I mean it.
That's hard.
I mean it. I mean every last word of it.
Uh-huh.
Don't get me started on some of these issues. There's some of the stuff here I just cannot talk about personally, professionally, just keep moving.
All right.
You don't want my comments. You do not want my comments. No, you don't.
Oh, okay.
I know this station. I know. And you do not want it.
All right.
What do you got?
Let's turn to something.
Inform the people. Give me something light.
All right, something light. Okay. A fast-growing network of conservative groups is fueling a surge in book bans. Yeah, and I figured you'd like this story. Keller Independent School District, which is just outside of Dallas... That's in the state of Texas, by the way. They passed a new rule in November. They banned books from its libraries that include the concept of gender fluidity. I don't know why they are so caught up on this and this cannot get past it. This change was pushed by three new school board members elected in May with support from Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile, they're a self-described Christian cell phone carrier. I'm sorry. A self-described Christian cell phone carrier. How does that work exactly? How does that work? You have to keep your conversations within Christian values, or are there limits to Sunday calls? Or how? What's a Christian cell phone company? For God's sake, we got to find these people. We got to find these people, and we have to figure out ways to taunt them.
Can non-Christians get service from them?
I don't think they can. I mean, would that make sense?
Is that fair?
It's a Christian cell phone carrier. They won't make you a wedding cake. Why would they let you use their cell phone service? Oh, boy. Through its political action committee, because they have one, Patriot Mobile poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into Texas school board races to promote candidates with conservative views on race, gender, and sexuality, including on which books children can access at school. Traditionally, debates over what books are appropriate for school libraries have taken place between a concerned parent and a librarian or administrator, and resulted in a single title or a few books being reevaluated and either removed or returned to shelves. But now, you have cell phone companies, Christian cell phone companies, getting involved. The issue has been supercharged by a rapidly growing and increasingly influential constellation of conservative groups. The organizations frequently describe themselves as defending parental rights. We had the same thing happen in Smithtown earlier this year. Fortunately, it only lasted a week before, you know, outraged people refused to let that be who we are. But in Texas, it's very much who they are right now. Some of these organizations, by the way, are new, and others are longstanding, but with a recent focus on books. Some work at the district and state level, others have national reach, and over the past 2 years or so, they've grown vastly more organized, interconnected, well-funded, and effective.
Okay, so
I find humor in this story.
Of the books in the library, are there religious texts?
Oh, well, I'm sure there are.
Can we ban some of those?
Well, who's we?
You know, let's ban them.
We need to form a mobile phone company first.
Let's ban them and then burn them. Like, we'll do sort of a, like a...
It's easier to burn them first and then ban them because they're burned. And
winter
who wants a burned book?
Thing.
I don't know. Okay, yeah, for fuel.
Yeah, only religious stuff, though.
All right. Well, there's all
that
kinds.
Secular enough for this station?
I don't know. You know, I just wonder, do you think there's any anarchist mobile phone companies?
Oh, there's not yet, but give it 10 minutes.
Or communist ones, or just anything in this kind. If there's Christian mobile phone companies.
It just seems like they have an agenda. What do I know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the serious part of this is that pretty much war has been declared on the LGBTQ community. In a variety of sectors throughout the country. And you are having situations where all kinds of activities and gatherings are being threatened. For instance, the drag story times at libraries. You know, have you heard about this? The recent shooting in North Carolina of the power lines, somebody knew what they were doing. They shot out the power lines, blacked out an entire county for a week.
It wasn't the lines.
What was it they did?
They shot the transformer systems inside the substations where the power is distributed. So what the shot did was cause leaks in transformers that are filled with mineral oil, and that oil cools the transformers, so when it breaks them, it leaks oil everywhere, and then they overheat and explode or whatever. Stuff like that was the plan in response to people daring to have drag story time.
Again, it's not confirmed that there's a relation, but it seems pretty likely that there was, because
that's coming from the police.
Yeah,
their suspicions.
Yeah.
One of two theories or three theories. So I don't know. Have them correct us then.
Uh huh. It's
not going to go well.
Obviously, somebody knew what they were doing when they did that. That was the intent, was to
Was
to black out the area.
Somebody always knows what they're doing, but they're acting in this way on that particular issue. is the height of unacceptability.
But I'm just saying, this isn't just somebody randomly shooting a gun. This is somebody targeting the electrical grid and for a purpose, you know, to shut something down. It seems highly likely that was, and that's a terrorist act. That's the definition of terrorism right there. But the bigger issue goes towards the chilling effect that this has towards, what do they call them, the drag time story? It had a name, and it's not coming to my head right now.
Drag Queen Story Time,
that's what it is. Okay, we had that in Port Jefferson, you know, a town right next to Stony Brook, a few years ago. It was great, no big deal. Now, I don't think they would dare do that because of all the idiots around here with pickup trucks and Trump stickers that would intimidate the kids and everybody else. And, you know, I think, you know, I'm not trying to put librarians any more in the front line. They already are. But I think this is the time to fight back. This is the time to challenge this. And it should be drag queen story time everywhere, in every library. I mean, what is the harm in this? It's basically dressing up. It's not indoctrinating kids in any way. It's basically just being somewhat flamboyant and entertaining and open and welcoming. Being and that is what growing up should be all about.
And it's also for people in the community to be visible and to have function and purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And these little death, like these little thousand cut actions are meant to disappear people from society in all the ways, but literally disappearing them. And I just do not think straight people understand. Like, they see a bill signed and they think, great, we fixed it. This goes the same way as race, class, other issues in society. Mm-hmm. It is not fixed.
Oh, no.
And I think straight people have absolutely no idea what it's like to constantly be uncomfortable or to have your existence be something that is held to scrutiny. I mean, it's the only classification that gets input from other orientations. Like, whenever have straight people ever asked, you know, for queer people's input on how they get down?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Are we being too straight?
Infuriating.
Should we tone it down a little
bit? Oh, yeah. Is this violent masculinity, is it a not okay level?
But, you know, what they do is they use kids as pawns because everybody's protective of kids, and they say that they're being targeted by these people, and that brings others who wouldn't ordinarily be taking this stance into the fray, thinking that their kids are in danger when they are absolutely not. I'll tell you what's indoctrinating of kids is giving them guns or putting military things around them or just, you know, basically trying to feed your political views into them. That's indoctrination. What this is, it's entertainment. It's you know, having fun on a Saturday afternoon. This is what people should be doing with their lives. Absolutely.
And then this one avenue is like many other things, becoming artificially controversial and then something that people don't dare do. Mm-hmm. And when we accept that books can just not exist and, you know, are there bad books? Yes, there are bad books. Is there adult content that is maybe not child appropriate or shouldn't be in various levels of the shelf or in certain libraries? Yes.
Yeah,
that goes for all books.
The Bible is so violent.
Well, yeah,
it really is.
This is a secular show.
Uh-huh.
So let's not get into that.
A lot of people laying with other people too. It's just But yeah,
well, the point is these
absolutely.
Little the broader issues, the conversation, the permission people feel they have to deride and demean a class of individuals, like many other classes of individuals, is at a very unhealthy level, in my opinion. I don't like the kind of conversations I overhear, it's very familiar to, like, a lot of what people heard when they were growing up and when, you know, that they thought that adulthood might afford them the ability to not be around that sentiment. And it's being challenged. So, yeah, I'm not having a very good time at all with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I reckon that is the intent.
I think you're right. I think absolutely you're right. But I just also want to make the point that, you know, today's bill signing, I don't think anybody is kidding themselves. I don't think anybody is saying that it's fixed. I think what they're saying is this is a blow for the right side. This is, you know, our line in the sand. And we still have a lot of fighting to do, and there's going to be a lot of ignorance that has to be defeated. But we're not just going to take it. And I think that's why this is a good thing. But yeah, you know, what we're seeing with this one issue alone is indicative of how much work is left to be done, how much outreach needs to be done as well.
Yeah, I just, you don't know what righteousness is. These critiques, they're adorable, but you've no idea what righteousness
well,
is.
Well, I mean, look, the thing is, you said it was artificially
controversial.
And you're right. It's artificially controversial. The drag queens in libraries reading stories to kids. That's not controversial. It shouldn't be controversial. What is controversial, though, and this is not artificial, are people threatening them, people intimidating anyone who does this kind of thing, people shooting out transformers to prevent something like this happening. You know, that's real. That's not artificial. And it's dangerous. And we need to fight it. We can't just take it. We can't just say, oh, yeah, let's, you know, we just won't do this because it'll
yeah,
rile them
you
up.
You cannot rely on the gay mafia to handle all of this. They are busy.
They're very busy. They're very, very busy. Okay, let's lighten it up a little bit. How about this? White nationalists, other Republicans brace for total war. A collection of racial right radical right figures. Including white nationalist and ultra-nationalist European leaders, gathered where else but Manhattan for the New York Young Republican Club's annual gala on Saturday night, where that group's president declared total war on perceived enemies. We want to cross the Rubicon. These people are out of their minds. We want to cross the Rubicon. We want total war. We must be prepared to do battle in every arena. In the media, in the courtroom, at the ballot box, and in the streets. That's
who's
according
this?
To,
this
was Gavin Wax.
Oh.
He is the NYYRC, president, and he, basically, declared to a room full of supporters. I don't know why we have the address here. 583 Park Avenue is where it happened. It's an event venue on New York's Upper East Side. Apparently they don't have a better name than that. This is the only language the left understands, a language of pure and unadulterated power. Really, that's the only language I understand. I'm not sure what language these people understand, but it seems to be violence, ignorance, and just rewriting history. The 5-hour event, which Hate Watch reporters attended. You know, you've got the right job if you're a Hate Watch reporter. You're in the right place at the right time, and you're doing God's work. Hate Watch reporters, wow. White nationalist Peter and Lydia Brimlow hobnobbed with Steve Bannon, former Trump advisor and White House official, and Donald Trump Jr. was also in attendance. Look, do we have to say it anymore how evil these people are? They're showing up at white nationalist rallies and basically preaching hatred and violence. This is where Marjorie Taylor Greene made her famous remarks that you've probably heard by now, saying that if she had been at January 6th, she would have won. And she would have been armed along with other people. Basically, she would have overthrown the government. That is what she is saying. How is she still a congressperson? How is she not being arrested right now for planning the overthrow of the government and advocating it as an elected member of Congress?
Well, all the enablers would say, well, it's her right to say that.
Is it really her right to say that?
But it's connected to an act. That's
the point. I mean, yeah, you can say, I think the government should be overthrown. Fine. But that's not what she's saying. She's saying this specific event, this is what I would have done. It's basically like saying, you know, I would have, made Auschwitz a little bit more efficient. You know, I would have done it better. Okay, you know what? You can say it. You can say it. But there should be ramifications for you saying it. And being in Congress should not be something that you continue to do after saying horrible things like that. You know, or are we just going to rewrite history and make January 6th? Well, it was, you know, it's your opinion if that was a good thing or a bad thing. No, it was a bad thing. It was a horrible thing. It was a horrible thing the day it happened. It's a horrible thing now. We all know that.
It was a cynical thing.
The people who don't know that or who claim that this was something good, they are lying to you. They are out of their minds. They are dangerous. Do not listen to them. And unfortunately, they're getting more of a mouthpiece now through Twitter, thanks to that idiot Elon Musk. Yeah, he's an idiot. I don't care if I lose my blue check. He's a damn idiot. Basically, doing this thing that so many naive people do, saying, oh, he's got to let free speech reign, and we'll sort it out. Look, we've been down that road. We see what happens when you just let everybody talk equally, you know, and basically treat everyone as if they know just as much as anyone else. You get mayhem. You get chaos. You get idiots running the show and a lot of damage. A lot of damage that takes a lot of time to clean up. We've learned these lessons already. He hasn't, and now we have to go through it all over again. So he's bringing back all the white nationalists and racists and hate mongers and basically destroying what little community there was in that place already.
Well, the flip side also is that a lot of really smart, passionate people are leaving. Mm-hmm. Multiple people that I both follow and others that I don't really keep track of that closely have left and are continuing to leave. I have half a foot out the door.
Yeah, you see, I don't agree with that. I don't think that when things get bad, you leave. Because
no, I don't either. I'm
people
just saying.
Do that in this country. They left the country because things got bad.
No, I think that's shameful, too.
It's basically you're handing it over. You're handing over the keys to the people you don't want to see in power.
But there are people that have had lifetimes, like I was talking about earlier, that have built lives to have a sliver, a fraction of their life exist without harassment and haranguing and straight crimes and, you know, the kinds of crap that they put off with the entirety of their life prior to that. Mm-hmm. They would like that space. And to have nothing happen after you raise the issue on said platform, it's just going to chase good journalists and good, well-meaning people that are creating content there away. And it's going to tilt the preponderance of the content and postings there toward the kinds of stuff that's being let back in.
Yeah.
We know this.
Yeah.
We know this. It's ebbing. It's going to go from one side to the other. We spent weeks talking about alternatives on the other radio show. Let's not kid ourselves.
Oh,
It's great. We can hang out there, but we'll be talking basically to, you know, ourselves.
I think we need the equivalent of guardian angels on Twitter. You know, people who go around with red bandanas.
I'm thinking Hell's Angels.
Or maybe Hell's Angels if it comes to it. But
they have a code.
Basically, if they're not going to, you know, keep the streets clean, as Travis would say, basically... we have to do it ourselves. You know, we have to, flush the scum out, I think is the actual quote. Or just make their lives very unpleasant. You know, you got to fight back, though. I think just leaving is giving them exactly what they want.
Well, you have to make them think they're winning a little bit. Like, you got to let them feel like, oh, yeah, and, like, you know, make it kind of inviting and, you know, like, and then they, you know, kind of start talking, they get kind of bold and all that, and then you take them completely, like, off the table.
Here's a thought.
I don't know. You undercut them. You overwhelm them when they're most comfortable.
If we raise $44.1 billion, you know, all of us, can we buy Twitter and just have it owned by the people? You know, just get it out of his hands. It's naive.
No,
it's stupid. I
know.
I
think he deserves it. I hope it is the sucking vortex that he always knew it would be.
Well, I think it would. He's made it. I think that's exactly what's happening right now. But it might take too long, though. That's my only thought. All right.
Well, we are all capable of accelerating everything.
That's true. And voices matter.
Be the accelerant you want to see in the world.
And you know what's weird is you don't know what voices are going to matter You know, basically, it could be a random video on YouTube. It could be a random tweet. But all of a sudden, something goes viral and 100,000 people see it. You don't know why. Somebody else says the exact same thing. Nobody cares. So say as much as you can is my advice, because somehow, some way, the algorithm may decide that that's something that people need to see. And you could wind up influencing. Oh, God, I hate that word. That word's been ruined. Influencing has been ruined. You might wind up changing some minds, you know, and making a difference.
Maybe enthralling.
I'm so glad they don't call them difference makers. That would ruin making a difference. Okay, so let's try and get to something positive. I keep failing in my attempt to do that. All right, here's a feel-good story. Here's down in Arizona. The Arizona governor is building a border wall of shipping crates in his final days of office. Oh, wait, that's not good. That's stupid. Look at this. Republican Doug Ducey, how do you say that name?
Ducey.
Republican Doug Ducey's scheme is illegal because makeshift barrier is being erected on tribal and federal land. Oh, he doesn't care. You think he cares about tribal lands?
Oh, that probably motivated him.
It's a makeshift new barrier. Have you seen this? This is so ugly. A makeshift new barrier built with shipping containers is being illegally erected along part of the U.S.-Mexico border by Arizona's Republican governor.
Can you use the containers, like, if I wanted to store bricks of, like, you know, kilos?
Well, you know, what you can do, you can easily drill through it.
Just like a little storage locker?
I've drilled through many shipping containers in my day. It's not that hard. It takes some time.
Yeah, you need like a torch.
But if you're over on the Mexican side, yeah, not only can you get through, now you have shelter. Now you have a place to stay if it's raining. Idiots. So he's basically illegally erecting all these shipping. It's worth a look. Just look it up online. You'll see what this is like. And he's doing this because he has to hand over the keys to his office to a Democratic successor in January. He's driving a project that's placing double stacked. Yes, not just one. They're double stacking them, and they're old shipping containers and several miles of national forest, trying to fill in gaps in Donald Trump's intermittent border fencing. Dude, if you're trying to fill in gaps of anything Trump has done, you're going to be doing a lot of filling, and you better have more shipping containers than the ports are handling right now, because it's going to be a never-ending project. But people are trying to make it end because it's ugly, it's polluting, they're rusting, it's really awful. And you know what the icing on the cake is? It's preventing wildlife from migrating where they're supposed to go. You know, a mountain lion is not going to climb two shipping containers to get to the other side. They're basically screwing up so much. So they're trying to stop this. U.S. attorneys have tried to put an end to it, but it's still going on. Dinah Baer, an attorney and former general counsel for the Council on Environmental Quality within the executive office of the White House, basically said that the legal action that Ducey is embarking on here is shockingly bad and frivolous. There's just no question that this is federal property, she added, as well as being public land, meaning there's no legal difference between the land they're putting the shipping containers on and Grand Canyon National Park. To block the project, she said U.S. Forest Service agents would definitely want a court order from a judge. They're not going to go down to the border and have a shootout with state police or arrest the governor at the state capitol. I think you should arrest the governor at the state capitol. It's vandalism, it's pollution.
It would be more exciting.
It's idiocy of a level that...
That would get ratings.
Yeah, it's just not right.
There's a reality show in that.
Federal Judge David Campbell is based in Phoenix. He's presiding over the case, but no hearing has been called yet. I don't know what you're waiting for. Clock is ticking, as Baer said. Court's backed up. Holidays approaching. The incoming Arizona governor, who you may have heard of, Democrat Katie Hobbs, you know, not that other candidate.
I just heard Democrat. That's all.
Yeah, but remember the other candidate, sure, whose name we don't speak anymore, who's basically filmed in. How does she get to be filmed What do you call that light?
Oh, soft light, the soft light. Glowing light, like soap opera lighting.
Yeah, how does she always get to be filmed that way? Did she always control the cameras? Is that how it works?
Well, it could be a digital effect, but it's definitely her controlling her own camera, which is much easier, and the divide for how to do your camera settings and do all that. I mean, many Google search has been made to fix and have people take ownership of what their video quality is, and she was just basically keeping that scheme for every interview, and so all of her video would look that way. It's no different than some rapper wearing like a mask over their face on a podcast or something.
But they're wearing a mask over their face physically,
right? But they're controlling their appearance,
right?
But she's just physically doing it with a camera, and it's either a type of filter combined with the types of lighting colors choices that she made, or it could be digital or both. I don't know.
Well, that is the extent of how interesting she is.
That it's more interesting than actually uttering her name.
Nothing else mattered as far as what she campaigned for. But she is suing because she lost.
Carrie Lake.
We were supposed to not say her name, Kyle.
Okay.
Now you've ruined everything. You've said her name.
Oh, well, I was thinking of it. I was trying to...
I was trying not to think
I just was concerned it might be more interesting, and I proved myself correct.
Well, Katie Hobbs won. Katie Hobbs beat Carrie Lake. Say that again. Katie Hobbs beat Carrie Lake decisively. Yeah, Carrie Lake lost. She lost.
And yes, Katie Hobbs won, and Carrie Lake was the loser who couldn't admit it.
Big loser in subdued light.
Yes.
Anyway, the... incoming Democratic governor, Katie Hobbs, will assume office on January the 2nd, and she has said she's going to remove the containers. All right, then. But here's the thing. It's cost $13 million so far. So are you folks in Arizona, you cool with just having your money wasted like that, just thrown around for some kind of stunt?
To put them in, it cost 13?
So far, yeah. Local media investigation found that Ducey's announced $6 million cost for the barriers in Yuma had actually cost $13 million. So
that's
more than double what he's claiming.
Yeah, they have to truck them in one by one or two by two, I guess, if you do trailers. And then you have to have a crane there. Station for them to come in on a schedule and lift them off and place them, and presumably you're like creating a footing that's level and, you know, doing the excavating to place them in that line, so that they don't fall over or, you know, cause other problems.
And there are daily protests where they're putting these things.
Probably by the tribes, maybe?
No, by people who live there, by people in the area.
Oh, the actual neighbors.
Yeah,
well,
and,
same difference.
And
yeah.
They've slowed it down quite a bit, but they haven't been able to stop it. But the real, I don't want to say funny part, but just, yeah, this is how stupid this actually is.
Just,
people in the area that watch, you know, the whole region with wildlife cameras say they rarely see migrants even crossing there. It wasn't even an issue to start with.
Stunt politics, E. It's going to really corrode people's faith in voting at all. It's like, okay, so we can't foil the actual process of voting, but let's make voting seem like it only supports these stunt political things that are complete wastes of time and money. These are not actual solutions. This isn't bipartisanship. This isn't compromise. This is trolling and owning the other side, wasting money, and not putting in actual solutions so that people can get on with their lives and pay for something new and the next project that is deemed of importance by the people. And it is kneecapping the progress and the advancement that our societies are so reliant on. In politics, you do stunts like this, people just start laughing and they think this is all politicians do.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And it's already a cliche, and this kind of crap just plays further into it.
But the guy doing it is leaving office anyway. He wasn't running for re-election. Why is he doing this?
He's wasting money just to have a stunt, just to seem like he did something, or so that it can be twisted into some reason, or that, you know, no, that Democrats thwarted the replacement, whatever. I don't need to do the work for them. It's lame. Mm-hmm. It's lame. It's stunt politics. I'm sick of it. I'm furious. Like, I wish you all the best, but we're done with this. This is not how you build a society.
Yeah.
And then thwarting people constantly because you might disagree with them on something, it's no longer acceptable.
Well, this isn't thwarting anybody. It's just doing something stupid because
it wasn't even an issue.
Is this
a concrete solution to immigration problems?
Not at all.
Is this creating a sustainable barrier or something that does incorporate wildlife? No, it's half cocked. It's a crackpot scheme to put garbage on a border and pretend it's a fence in honor of your saint. The former ex-con president.
That's it entirely. Put garbage on the border. This is massive littering, and someone should be held accountable. And I think it should be the governor who's held accountable. So, yeah, go arrest him in the state capitol. Show some guts. Do something decisive. All right, listen, we're going to move on to what I hope is a positive story, because we have yet to do one here. How about Washington, D.C. has unveiled a bold plan to boost public transit by offering free rides? Hey, wait, I think that is a positive story. Hang on a second. Yeah, this is real. This is real. Kyle, look. Okay, hold on.
What's the catch? There's got to be...
The COVID-19 pandemic...
Oh, that's it.
By the way, folks, the COVID-19 pandemic is still here. Please get your booster. The booster works. The vaccines work. The people who tell you otherwise are idiots. Don't listen to them. Listen to the scientists, listen to the doctors, look at the evidence, look at the results, and don't listen to the lies. Please, get your boosters. We got our boosters a couple of months ago.
At the very least, keep your mouth shut if you believe the lies and you're trying to tell other people to do things that harm them. I mean, yeah,
but
you can believe
that.
It's
not going to work for people who believe lies. They don't keep their mouth shut. They're going to keep spreading the
lies. I know. They won't be content until they've made everybody else believe the same lies they believe to, like, affirm their delusion, and also put their health at risk.
And
don't do that. That's inconsiderate.
Look, put your health at risk if that's what you really want to do, but don't put other people's health at risk.
Keep that
and
to yourself.
You know what? And also, I want to add to this. Don't listen to anybody on the radio telling you to do one thing or another. Listen to the people who know what they're talking about, and those are doctors. Those are scientists. Real doctors. Real scientists. You know, not people who just run away on a Kellogg's box top or something to get a doctorate. No, not that kind of thing. Anyway, can we get back to D.C.? COVID-19 pandemic laid bare for the District of Columbia and other major cities that public transit was a lifeline for essential workers, and that even modest fares could be a burden to them. So the nation's capital is introducing a groundbreaking plan. It will begin offering free bus fares to residents next summer. Other cities, including Los Angeles and Kansas City, Missouri, suspended fare collection during the height of the pandemic to minimize human contact and ensure that residents with no other travel options could reach jobs and services at hospitals, grocery stores, and offices. But D.C.'s permanent free fare plan will be by far the biggest, coming at a time when major cities, including Boston and Denver, states like Connecticut, are considering broader zero-fare policies to improve equity and help regain ridership that was lost with the rise of remote and hybrid work. This is great, and this is something that I think cities and countries should consider, because you know, mass transit is not supposed to be a profit-making enterprise. It's supposed to be a public service. So having that available, having people being able to get from one place to another, that is good for society. That is good for everybody. So what D.C. is doing is incredibly smart. I hope more cities follow suit.
That is pretty inspiring, and we've been updating ourselves on some of the stuff going on in the north and the REM system. We'll have to talk more about
Montreal,
it.
Montreal, yeah, the
really exciting
metro
and
system.
They've not only come up with a way to build this system, but it's the organization and the planning body behind it. It's a model that they want to export as a template to other parts of the world, and mm-hmm. and it is all about basically creating. They're running their infrastructure planning agency. On a pension fund, which is kind of cool. It's an interesting model, and they've got really cool new trains coming. The R211s are testing the new subway cars.
Oh, the gangway.
The open gangway.
We can see all the way down the train.
Those are
from
starting
from the inside.
They're around. Yeah. I don't know. You can't. I don't know if you can ride on them yet. No, you can't. They're testing.
They're being tested. It's funny. There's a video going around YouTube of a 5-car train being tested. It goes through the stations honking its horn, and you see all these workers inside wearing their reflective vests. But you see one worker lying down on the seats like he's testing it for people that sleep on the train. It was just a little funny. So that's something that's happening. East Side Access, now it's called Grand Central Madison. That's opening this month. That's where the Long Island Railroad goes to Grand Central Station. Want to be on one of those trains. A lot of good things are happening. So don't listen to our negativity. Sometimes there are good things happening as well. Oh, and one other thing. I haven't talked about the World Cup at all. Haven't ruined today's game for anybody. But tomorrow, oh, my God, tomorrow Morocco plays the French, the world champions. And I got to tell you, I'm going to be rooting for Morocco because, hey, the French have already gotten the win. And what this is for Africa, what this is for the Arab world, it is so huge. You know, Finn was talking about his neighborhood last week. I can imagine what his neighborhood was like over the weekend when they made it to the semifinal. And I cannot imagine by any stretch if they win tomorrow what his neighborhood will be like. But either way, they have accomplished some amazing things. It's so inspirational. It's really emotional watching just people all over the world celebrating what 11 guys can do on a field in some remote, far-off place. It's almost over. You know, it ends next weekend with the final and the third-place game. But it's been quite an event, good and bad. A lot of really good games, and I hope that tomorrow is one of them.
Yeah, I'm not as touched, moved, and inspired by the whole thing as you are, but I do think that you know, it's worthwhile, and it'll be nice to get back to things when it's over. And I'm sending out my condolences to Grant Wall's family.
Yes, the journalist who died under somewhat mysterious circumstances in Qatar. I'm sure we'll hear more about that in weeks, months, years to come. Hey, our friend Don Lutz from Big Audio Dynamite and Screaming Target and all kinds of other projects has an album coming out in April. It's called Out of Sync, but the title track is floating around. So let's hear that on our way out. We'll see you next week. OTW at 2600.com.
Later.
Bye.
Now, because of my duality, raised on pop and bass, didn't really bother me, because it's all about the taste. I'm the vinyl generation. That's how I got my start. Finding clothes and music, turn it in a heart. Now because of the economy, you're living with your mum. It's hard to be a rebel, but you get your washing done. And you can skirt around the issue, you can rock around the clock. And no one will ever miss you if you put it on TikTok. So I finally come to you. absolutely fabulous, and we won't be told, because the young ain't what they used to be, but neither are the old. Sure, I might be on a pension, but I'm still well dressed. It's a modern day convention, and I'm not easily impressed. But I finally come to realize I might not be so old and wise. When you're out of time and out of sync, forever might not be as long as you think. So I finally got to realize I might not be so far away. When
whoa, some nice new music there from the ever cool Mr. Don Letts that I was unaware of. And got to thank Emmanuel and Kyle for tipping me to the Letts. You're listening to Finn's Revolution on WUSB, Stony Brook.